Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church, and I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church. So all that's going on, check out our website, check out our Facebook, all that good stuff. But I want to thank you for being here for Mother's Day. You know, I think it says a lot about you just as a mother, you know, for you to be here. Because Mother's Day is your day, you know, and you could have very easily said, okay, so family, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to go to bed and I'm not going to wake up until my body chooses to, all right? And at whatever point that happens, I'm going to be greeted with breakfast, okay? I'm not going to be greeted with changing diapers or screaming or my brother did this, all right? I'm going to be greeted with breakfast, and then I'm going to continue to go back to my room, and I'm going to binge watch Grey's Anatomy on Netflix all day, okay? That's what you could have chosen to do. And maybe that's what you're going to do after this. But you could have chosen to do that, but you chose to be here. And I think that says a lot about you mothers because, you know, I think the reason that you're here is because you love God in your heart. And because you love God, that affects how you love your family. And that's kind of what we've been talking about in this series, is the disciples and Paul, they were left with a lot to kind of translate to people. People wondered, you know, the life of Jesus, the philosophies that he taught, the lessons that he gave us, the gospel message. What is that? How does that affect everything else? And one thing in particular that they really wondered about is, what does that mean in terms of the family? In terms of the culture of the family, how does that affect how we love each other? How does God love affect how we love one another? And so that's kind of what we've been breaking down. And the question that's going to be on the screen that we've been answering is, how do we assemble the family we want to resemble? Because the family, it's this interesting dynamic that's a lot like something that you shop for and then you purchase. You shop looking at the ideal image, the fully put together perfect model image. But then whenever you purchase it and it comes to you, it turns out there's some work that has to be done. There's some assembly required. And the family's no different. The family is a dynamic that, you know, it takes some work. And there are some things that are required of us to build, to put together the family that we want to resemble, to assemble the marriage that we want, to assemble the relationship with the kids that we want, to be able to keep a great relationship with our siblings, our cousins, our aunts, our uncles, our grandparents. It takes some work, and it's kind of an ever-changing, evolving thing, family dynamics, because people grow, people change, people move, things become different, people make mistakes. And so how do we assemble the family that we want to resemble? And I've been giving you guys kind of some, you know, cues and questions every week, some Allen wrenches, some things to think about. And I know that for many of you, this series has kind of like kicked you in the butt. You know, somebody at the door said, this is just like a punch in the gut for me. And then, you know, others of you are like, man, I continue to think about it. I re-listen to the podcast. I go online and I watch it again because it's just, you know, it's a total game changer, but it takes a lot of work and it takes kind of shifting how we think about things and how we look at things and just our perspective on family and who's right and who's wrong and whose responsibility it is. And so today I want to kind of finish up what we talked about last week. Last week I talked about conflict. Conflict is inevitable in the family dynamic, and conflict, we feel it differently in the family than we would anywhere else, you know? If somebody calls you a jerk at work, you're like, ah, well, that's your opinion. But if your mom calls you a jerk, like you want to cry deep inside because it's just different, you know, that pain, you process that pain so much more differently. And the thing we got to last week through the scriptures is we talked about whenever we're in conflict with somebody, when those emotions are high or when we're angry, what's the real problem going on here? Where's the conflict truly at? The conflict is really, the core of it is I'm not getting what I want. Even if it's complete, what you want is completely justified. The problem and the reason for the emotion and the reason for the anger is they're not giving me what I want. And if we would just wrap our minds around that, and if we could just stop and process that question in the midst of that conflict, it would bring the temperature down. It would bring the emotion down. We just stopped and said, you know what the problem is here? I'm not getting what I want. And then the question I posed for you, and this was the real punch to the gut, right? Is what if that person in your family, they cannot give you what you want? What if they're incapable? What if they've just gotten older and, you know, their mental capacity isn't there? What if they're handicapped? What if they've just followed a pattern for so long that there's just, it's going to be a very, very long road back? What if, for whatever reason it may be, they can't give you what you want? Can you love them in spite of the fact that they can't give you what you want? And that's a tough question, and it's not easily answered. But that is exactly what Jesus did for us. And so if we can answer that question, if we really can love people in spite of the fact that they can't give us what we want, man, we would be that much closer to Jesus, but we would also have, you know, complete marriages. We would have a relationship with our kids that wouldn't fade away, that wouldn't be in conflict. We would always still be in right relationship with one another, because even when they can't give us what we want, we would be able to love each other through it. And so today what I want to get into is, what does that look like though? I mean, it's easy to say, so just love them. Love them in spite of the fact. Love them when they can't give you what you want. But, I mean, why? You know, give me some motivation, Pastor. Tell me why it is. Because, I mean, what they're doing is seriously wrong. What they're doing is breaking my heart. What they're doing, you know, is it's so big what I want from them. And so give me the why behind the what. And that's kind of what I want to do today, because it's a very, very tough question to answer. And so what I want to get into today is a phrase, okay? I'm going to start out with a phrase that I just want you to eliminate from your vocabulary. Something that you need to stop saying right now, that you should never say again in the context of your family, your relationships, even to your coworkers, your community. You just shouldn't even say it in life anymore, because it's just detrimental to your relationships with other people. And it's going to keep you from being able to love people no matter what. And so these are the three words that I want you to take out. All right, ready? They're going to be on the screen. I don't care. Everybody say it with me, because this is the last time you're ever going to say these words. Ready? I don't care. Don't ever say it again. Don't ever, 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 ever say it again. Don't say it to your kids. Don't say it to your husband. Don't say it to your wife. Don't say it to your mom, your dad. Don't ever say it again. Don't ever say again, I don't care. Why do we say those three little words? Where did that come up from? Because what we decided was, in the midst of that conflict, in the midst of what was going on, we decided that we had invested too much emotion, too much anger, too much thought, too much time, too many tears. And so we decided, you know what? I have invested too much of myself in this. And this is painful. This is hurtful. So here's the thing. I don't care. I don't care anymore. I don't care. Let them go do what they want to do with their money. They're going to find their way through this. They're going to find out that I was right and that they're wrong. And you know what? I don't care. I don't care anymore. Or you know what? My parents, they think they're able to do this. I keep telling them, you're too old to this. You can't go to Europe, okay? You shouldn't do this. You don't know what you're doing. You know what? Fine. Do what you want. I don't care. You know what? If they want to continue to date them, if they think that that's the person they should marry, if they really want to be engaged and they think they know what they're doing, then fine. You know what? Then let them go do them. That's fine. I don't care. I don't care. We could take it even further when something really, really, really painful, really hurtful happens to us as well. Some of you, you've had these moments with family that have been so damaging. Maybe a dad who left you, somebody who divorced you. Maybe your parent cheated on your mom or your dad or something, and that thing was so painful, that thing was so hurtful. When you went through that, you said, yeah, you know what, fine. You know what? I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. And that's how you dealt with the pain. That's how you dealt with it in the moment, is just to choose that I don't care. I don't want to feel this. I don't want to hurt anymore. So you know what? I don't care. And sometimes those huge moments, experiences in life that are so damaging, that are so hurtful, that just kind of tear a family apart, we can look at it and we go, you know what I'm going to do with this? I'm just going to stuff it down, and I'm just going to choose not to care. I'm going to choose not to become invested in it, and I'm done. I don't care. But here's the problem with that phrase, and here's the problem with choosing to do that, is that at some point in time, that closet is going to burst open. You're going to shove it in that closet, and you're going to say, you know what, I'm just going to pack this away, and I'm going to choose not to care anymore. I don't care. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I'm not going to give any thought to it. I'm not going to give any more emotion to this or invest any more time in this. I don't care. But here's the thing. One day, at some point or time, that closet door is going to break open. And all those emotions and all those feelings are going to come rushing back that you never dealt with. And you're going to be neck deep in experiences and things that you never dealt with, that you never processed, that you never figured out. And it's going to happen. For some of you, it's going on today. Okay, I met some of you guys in the parking lot, and I can already feel it. All right, some of you guys, you're having a great Mother's Day. You're happy. Your kids are here with you, and you're having a good time. That's great. But for others of you, Mother's Day just kind of reminds you of the brokenness that you have in your family, doesn't it? Mother's Day, some of you, you think about your relationship with your mother, and you wouldn't even wish your mother a happy Mother's Day today, even if you could. Because she wasn't a good mother. Because there was conflict that you guys had. Because of the last argument you had. Because the last phone conversation or the last Christmas that you saw each other, it wasn't that good. And maybe you'll call her today just because it is Mother's Day, or maybe you'll write a Facebook post and go, it's Mother's Day, this is what everybody's doing, I'll do it. But inside, you won't really want to, because what Mother's Day reminds you of, even though you've said to yourself, I don't care, is how broken your relationship is with your mother and how you wish it was different, how you wish it wasn't what it was, right? That can happen. For some of you, Mother's Day today reminds you of the broken relationship with your kids. Some of you, your kids are at home. They're not with you at church today. You decided to come, but they couldn't even, you know, get dressed and come with you to church today, or they didn't want to, or for whatever reason it may be, or you're not talking. And so Mother's Day reminds you of your broken relationship with your kid, and you're hoping they call you today. You're hoping that today is maybe just a reason for them to talk to you today, and that maybe something good could come of it. But Mother's Day just reminds you of the brokenness relationship with your kids. And you've told yourself, I don't care. But today's a day that, again, that closet starts to creep up a little, and you're pushing against it because you don't want to feel it. You just get to tomorrow, and we'll get back to the monotony of life, and we won't feel it anymore. But there's something there, right? At some point or time, you could tell yourself you don't care, but there's going to be a Christmas, there's going to be a holiday, there's going to be a birthday, there's going to be that anniversary where you guys got married, but now you're no longer married. There's going to be something where that emotion is going to surface, and it's going to be very real, and it's going to be something that you haven't dealt with, and even though you've told yourself you don't care, here's the truth of the matter. You do care. You do care. I don't care is a lie that you've told yourself, that you've tried to use to suppress that and try to find some peace in your life. But here's the thing. You do care. You do. Do you know how I know that you care? Because you were created to care. God made you that way. God designed you that way. God put in us this desire for relationships, this need for other people. And so you can lie to yourself and you can tell yourself as much as you want that you don't care. But the truth of the matter is that you do, because you were created to care. And at no point in time was it ever God's idea or God's design for us to write people off and say, you know what, here's how I'm going to deal with this conflict. I don't care anymore. I don't care about my sister. I don't care about my brother. I don't care about my grandmother. I don't care about my grandfather. I don't care about my dad. I don't care about my mom. They're dead to me. They're gone. I'm forgetting about it. I don't care anymore. If you do that, if you choose to do that, you are not dealing with the problem. It will come back to haunt you. It will be easy for a time, but one day an event will show up, or you'll get into your 40s or your 50s, and there will come a time, and here's the thing, you will regret not dealing with the pain, because there will be a time where you will want to fix it, you will want to talk to him, you will want to resolve the issue so that you can actually find real peace in your life. And if you wait too long, you may not be able to do it face to face with him. So you've got to deal with that conflict now. You've got to be reconciled, and you've got to resolve that conflict that's going on in your life. And so this morning, I want to get into a scripture verse that's going to help us with this, to kind of put the why behind the what of why we should love people and what it is that we should be doing. And Paul answers this question for us. Paul talked about this in the church at Corinth. Again, he takes these principles and actions of Jesus and he explains how they affect how we live. And in 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 15, this is what Paul tells us. Paul says, "For Christ's love compels us." Christ's love compels us. Why do this? Why should you care? Well, because Christ's love compels us to care. Now, again, don't get this in the reverse. I don't care because I love Christ. I care because Christ loved me first. This is about his love for me. Because Jesus loved us, because of what God did for us, because of what happened on the cross and the life he lived and the gift of forgiveness and grace and mercy that he gave us, because of Christ and what he did for me, it should compel me to love others, to love people when I'm in conflict with. Not because they deserve it, not because if it's fair or unfair, not because they paid me back or they paid their debt. It's because of what Christ has done for me. It's Christ's love that should compel every single one of us to care. And he goes on and he talks about what that looks like. He says, because we are so convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Now that makes no sense, right? It's kind of confusing. A lot of died in there, right? What in the world is he talking about? Let me help you make sense of it, okay? So what Paul's saying, he said, for Christ's love compels us. Because here's what happened. We are so convinced that God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, to go on the cross and pay the debt that was needed for our sin. He gave a life for a life. And that allowed us to have new life. What we've done, our selfishness, our sin in life, it is worth death. That's the debt that there was. That's the debt that needed to be paid. But instead, Jesus went on the cross and he died for us so that we didn't have to die. He died for all. And so Paul says, here's what that should do. Because he died for us, because he died for all, what we should do is we should no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died. Jesus gave a life for our lives, and so we should give our life for him. Here's another way of looking at it, okay? A little bit clearer. Jesus said no to what was in his best interests for our best interests. And so we should say no to our best interests for his interests. Does that like make a little bit more sense, right? He put his best interests aside for us. And so in return, we should put our interests aside for his best interests. And then two verses later, he picks up and he tells us what his best interest is, okay? He goes on in verse 18, he says, "All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ." All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. So what God did with us is he reconciled our relationship that we had with him. He reconciled the broken relationship that he had with him. And what he did is he reconciled us to himself through Christ. He said, you know what? You have been selfish. There have been times where you haven't been able to give me what I want. But what I did was I gave you a gift of forgiveness. I didn't make you pay me back. I paid your debts for you. I welcomed you back before you had your life together, before you could do what was fair, before you could do what was just, and I just called you just, and I called you good, and I took everything that was in between us, anything that was a barrier between the two of us, and I just removed it, and I threw it out of the way, because all I wanted was a relationship with you, and I loved you. I loved you in spite of your sin. I loved you in spite of the fact that you couldn't give me what I wanted. I loved you regardless of it all, and I reconciled our relationship. And then he goes on, and so he gave us that ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. So Paul says, so here's the thing that's happened now. Here's how everything that Jesus did now affects our life as well, is that Jesus had this ministry of reconciliation. What it was all about, what it was all for, is bringing people back into relationship with God. That's what it was all about. That's what it was all for. And that's what he wanted most. He didn't care about what you did. You didn't have to be perfect. You didn't have to earn it. You don't deserve it. I feel like I'm singing a song we just sang, right? But he loved us, and he came after us. And he didn't care about the past, and he didn't care about the fact we couldn't give him what he wanted. He just called us back, and he left the 99, and he came after us because he wanted a relationship with us. That's how much God loves us. And you know, when you think about it like that, doesn't it kind of seem kind of one-sided? You know what I mean? I mean, really, when you understand the gospel, and when you understand what God did, and this concept of sending his son to die on the cross for us, it's just, he gives so much to us, asking for nothing in return, right? He sacrificed his son. He gave his son's life away, and he removed all these barriers, and he says, I just want a relationship with you. And what does he ask in return? To believe in him. To believe in him. Simple as that. Believe me. Believe me when I tell you that I love you. Believe me when I tell you that I have your best interest at heart. All I'm asking from you, you can't give me what I want. You're weak, you're going to fail, you're going to mess up, and that's okay. Here's all I want from you. I'm not expecting perfection from you. I'm not expecting you to look apart or anything by that means. I'm even okay if you struggle through this and you fight through this and not all this makes sense. That's fine. Here's all I want in return. I just want you to believe me when I say I love you. And I want you to know that that is never going to change and nothing is ever going to take that away. My daughter, she picked up this new thing. I think she picked it up from school because she wouldn't hear it in our house. But she does this new thing now. She started it a couple months ago. Whenever we're having an argument, the thing she likes to do is she goes, I don't love you anymore. Which the first time you hear that as a parent, it stabs you in the chest, right? You're like, that's the button. You know what I mean? She found the arrow. You know what I mean? Well, I don't love you anymore. But here's the thing, you know, just like we talked about last week, you got to understand where people are at. You got to understand that they can't always give you what you want. And so I, you know, the first time it broke my heart, but the second time, what I started to do is anytime she tells me, she goes, well, I don't love you anymore. I said, well, too bad, because I still love you. And she looks at me and she goes, you can't do that. And I go, yes, I can. I'm your dad. She goes, well, I don't love you anymore. And I said, well, guess what? I still love you. You know what? That's what God did for us. It's what that ministry of reconciliation is that when we couldn't give him what he wanted, when we turned our back on him, when we were selfish, sometimes when we literally looked up at him and pointed our finger at him and said, you know what, I don't love you anymore. He looked back at you and he said, well, guess what? I still love you. Well, guess what? I haven't given up on you. Guess what? I'm not turning my back on you. Guess what? I'm not going anywhere. I still love you. You. That's what that ministry of reconciliation is. And Paul goes, guess what? That's our part to play now. That ministry of reconciliation, that thing that God did for us, guess what God wants us to do among each other? God wants us to love each other in spite of each other's weaknesses, failures, mishaps, and sin. And God wants us compelled by his love, not because they deserve it, not because they earned it, but because of what Christ did on the cross. God wants us to look at the people around us who fail us, who let us down, who can't give us what we want, who literally sometimes look at us and go, you know what, I don't love you anymore, to be able to look back at them and truly in our heart say, well, guess what, I still love you. I still love you in spite of the fact of everything you've done. Whew. Think about that in the terms of your family. Think if you were able to do that with your husband, with your children, with your brother, with your sister, with your parents, with your grandparents, with your cousins. When they mess up or when they can't give you what they want or when they literally look at you and go, you know what? I don't love you anymore. I don't want a relationship with you anymore. You're not my mom anymore. You're not my dad anymore. I don't ever want to see you again. To be able to look back at them and go, well, guess what? Here's the problem. You're not giving me what I want. But you know what? I love you in spite of. everything that's happened between us. All that's in the past. And I still want a relationship with you. And I still want to love you. I love how the Message paraphrases it. Eugene Peterson, he wrote this awesome paraphrase called The Message. And in the Message version, it looks like this. It says, God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. And God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. That's our ministry of reconciliation that we have as Christians. If you're not a Christian, this is just what's best for relationships. I promise it, okay? But if you are a Christian, this is the ministry. This is the purpose that we've been given. This task that we have to live out our lives, spreading the message of the love that God has had for us, what Christ has done, how Christ loves us in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our failures, in spite of our sin. And we don't have to do anything to earn it or deserve it. It is free to us. And all we have to do in return is believe it's true, is believe that he really does love us and that he's for us and he is not against us. And that ministry is not just to bring people back in right relationship with him, but it's something that we have to do amongst each other for it to become real. We're in a ministry of helping people drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. And spreading the message that, you know what, the way that our family's going to stick together, the way that we're going to get through this, the way that our marriage is going to last 50, 60, 70 years, the way that we're always going to have a good relationship as siblings and still be able to be friends and be able to get through the toughest things in life is if we have the ability to love each other in spite of the horrible things that we do, in spite of the selfish things that we do, in spite of the evil desires in our heart, in spite of whatever we may come against, the ability to love each other and say, even though you can't give me what I want, I still love you. I went to this conference this week at North Point Church, and it was awesome. I felt like I was at Disneyland for pastors, okay? It's so, so very cool. Their children's department was like, I want to be a kid there, all right? It was awesome. So it's this church that started in 95. It's 23 years old. Started out just like us, plant church, right? And now they're like a church of 22,000, seven campuses. It's ginormous. It's huge, right? And so this was a conference all about small groups. And we'll get to that in the fall because we're going to have to flip the switch on all that. But we were in this breakout session, and they were talking about a time where they wanted to evaluate their small groups. And so what they wanted to do is they wanted to record and film a group going through small groups and be able to watch the video back and kind of reassess the leaders and what was going on in their whole program. But they thought, you know what, our people, they don't want to be on camera. They're not used to it. They may not be as honest and real because they know that cameras will be there. So what are we going to do? And they said, well, let's do this. Let's hire actors. Let's hire actors to be themselves, to not act, but at least they are comfortable being in front of a camera. So let's hire a group of actors to go through our starting point small group. And starting point is their beginning small group. Everybody who's new goes through the small group. It's 8 weeks, and it just talks about faith, belief in God, and any barriers you may have between a relationship with God. And so they hired these eight actors to be in the small group for 8 weeks. And so 1 week, they showed us this video, and they're talking about what barriers are keeping you from having a relationship with God, and what barriers are keeping you from wanting to be a part of a church and being part of a church community. And this woman, she starts talking about what her barrier is that keeps her from a relationship with God, what keeps her from, you know, being part of a church. And she starts talking about how she feels like in life, everything that she does is held against her. Every action, every word, what she does, what she wears, what she looks like, her decisions in life, they're constantly being judged by people. And she said, I feel like in every environment, in every place, and in every relationship, I'm not fully accepted by anyone. And she started to cry. And she said, but if I knew that there was somebody who would accept me in spite of everything that I've done, and in spite of the person that I may be right now, if I could find a place, and if I knew that there was truly a God and a community of people who would love me in spite of all that, I would follow that God and I would be part of that church. Isn't that amazing? And here's the thing. There are people all around you in your context. There are people in your family. Even you. Who truly what you want, what your mountaintop experience would be, sometimes even what keeps you from really buying into what a family is or having a relationship with God or even becoming part of a church, is you don't feel like in any context you are ever good enough. You don't feel like in any context you ever really fit the part or that you're ever fully accepted. That you know every time you go to a family function, every time you talk to that in-law, every time you talk to that parent, every time you talk to that kid, every time you get together with those group of people, you are never ever truly fully accepted. And the past is always still felt like the present. Right? But what if? What if in the family context, what we started to do is let the past be the past and wipe it clean and let it be forgotten? It's in the past. It doesn't need to be brought up again. It's done. And what if instead we looked at our family members, we looked at the people in our family culture, and we said, here's the thing I want you to know, and here's the thing I will start living out today. I love you in spite of what happened. I love you in spite of the past. I love you in spite of what was said. I love you in spite of what was done. I want you to know that I love you no matter what. And you don't have to earn my love. You don't have to gain my trust back. You don't have to pay me back. There's no debt that you need that I need to receive. I love you in spite of. Because God's done that for me. Because Christ has done that for me. See, here's the answer to every problem is love. It's love. Another story from my conference. This one blew my mind. I was like texting Pastor Josh and Pastor Carrie. I was so excited. Monday night, we're sitting there at dinner, me and my dad. My dad got on the plane with me and went with me. And so we're talking about this. And all of a sudden, this pastor. He's the executive pastor of North Point. He was with Andy Stanley in the group that planted it from the very beginning. He's the executive pastor. He was on stage just a couple hours before. He walks by our table and he goes, hey, you guys are from the conference, right? Can I have dinner with you? I'm like, oh my goodness. It's like fanboying. You know, it's like if Justin Bieber walked by and said he wanted to sing a duet with me. You know, of course. So Bill is his name, Pastor Bill. And so he sits down with me and my dad and this other guy who was there with this conference with his wife. He was on sabbatical, so we were all talking. And so he sits down with us, and we have this awesome dinner, just talking about everything under the sun. And it was an awesome, awesome experience. But I just want to share this part with you, because this is what blew my mind. And I shared it on Facebook this week as well. So North Point was a plant church that broke off from the First Baptist denomination. And they went through a lot of heartache, a lot of stuff, a lot of ups and downs. They had a lot of people who were against them, jealous of them, tried to torpedo their ministry and stuff. It's just really cool to see a church plant, you know, start out with a small group of people, break off from a denomination, and in 23 years become this church of 22,000 that just impacts the world, right? And so I'm sitting there with this executive pastor of this huge ministry, and my dad's sitting there, and he asks him the question. He goes, hey, I want to ask you a question. Not that we hadn't asked him like 20 other questions, but I want to ask you a question. He said, I know the Christian answer to this question, you know, but I want to ask you, how did you survive all of that? All the things that you guys have been through, all the turmoil, all the different events and changes, you know, besides the Christian answer of God saw us through it. I know God got you through it, okay? But what would you answer it seriously, honestly? And he looked at us and he kind of looked around at some volunteers that were around and stuff too. And he said, the answer is simple. He said, we love each other. And he says, like, seriously. He's like, really? He's like, let's not just glance over that. And he said, I know it sounds simplistic. He's like, I'm talking about like we really love each other. He's like, I love these volunteers. I love these people who are here. I love you. He said, I love our worship band. He goes, we have disagreements all the time. We have times where we have to have come to Jesus moments. We have times where we yell at each other. We have times where we have disagreements. But through it all, we have been through war together. And at the end of the day, no matter what, he said, the people who have always stayed at this church and survived this church and not left is because the people who are here, honestly, seriously, for 23 years, have genuinely loved each other. And it was such a simple thing, such a simple answer. But I went, that's what it is. That is what it is when people truly, genuinely love each other, everything works itself out. People stay. People don't abandon one another. People don't stop talking. When we honestly, genuinely love each other in a real way, in the way that Christ loved us, with no strings attached, with no debt to be paid, with no trust that needed to be re-earned, when we truly, honestly love each other like that, there is nothing that we can't do. And when a family is able to do that, there's nothing that a family can't do. When siblings are able to do that, you will always have that brother, you will always have that sister in your life. There will always still be a chance that things can change. When you're able to do that with your parents, as their seasons change, as their mind changes, as the circumstances change, as you move apart, no matter what it may be, if you're able to truly still always through everything love each other, you will always have that relationship. And there's always still a chance. What I'm saying is this. How do you assemble the family that you want to resemble? By loving them in spite of anything that may happen between the two of you. In spite of anything that they may do, in spite of any decision that they may follow that you disagree with. If you're able to love each other that way, things will be okay. And if you're able to do that now, you will save yourself a lot of grief, a lot of pain, a lot of heartache, and you will always still have that relationship with one another.